Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions, right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's doing okay. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on? How's life?
Well, I forgot I had COVID testing, even though I do it every week at the same time at Titans facility. Then I arrived here to find that we have no coffee. Yeah. So, how I'm doing, it could be progressively. Like, by the end of the show, Michelle and I both, this could be a real problem, man.
What you're saying is
like we're stranded on a desert island. Like, we have to figure out, we have to, like, make a sign, like, to save us.
Like, I could have to do some heavy lifting today at the end of the show, is what we're saying here. Yeah, you just passed out on the floor?
I might just curl up on that chair right there and be done. I might have like an hour maybe here, okay?
Michelle, are you in the reserve tank yet? How's everything going?
Well, the thing is, too, I didn't bring my own coffee this morning. Usually I'll make one.
Yeah.
And then Joe and I will come in with our coffee, and then we'll probably have four throughout the show, I'd say, here. And I was running out the door. I forgot to grab my coffee on the counter. So I'm going cold turkey right now.
Oh, boy.
So you'd say we usually have six coffees throughout the entire show. I'm on zero right now. So yeah, Rob.
So six per person or six total?
No, per person.
I was about to say.
Six pack of coffee every morning. So yeah, this could be a problem. This could be a real problem. So, is Ryan Porth up?
I don't know, man.
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan.
Make yourself useful. Get in here.
Were you thinking about coming in really early to work today? That'd be awesome if you did. Be a lot cooler if you did, Ryan Porth.
That's right. Get with it. I saw Ryan Porth putting up some Christmas decorations yesterday on November the 16th, which is a total violation in my book. So
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole house, man. Saw it on the gram.
What's up with that?
Hey, look. You know, obviously his wife is pregnant at the moment. It's probably at the behest of her. So my advice to him, just go ahead and do whatever she tells you to do.
You're going
to
blame her? Maybe it's him. Maybe he's
well,
the
if
one
it is him,
off.
I will blame him. But if it's her, I'm not blaming her.
To blame him, too.
Okay.
Yeah. Either way, let's blame him. Yeah, that's a little early, man. There's some nice, you know.
It just goes back
say,
to Thanksgiving being very underappreciated, yeah. Which is ironic given the name of the holiday.
That's a good point. I will say, like, so we have, like, all these decorations in the garage, and we have a ton of Halloween, and we have a ton of Christmas. We do have a little bit of Thanksgiving, like some fall-colored stuff, but, you know, it's just, like, it's not a really, it's just, there's not a great industry for Thanksgiving decoration.
There's not.
It's just, like, fall colors and, like, a turkey, which is kind of weird because you're about to slaughter one and eat one, but I don't know.
Wait till December 1st. That's my thing. Wait till December 1st, then put the Christmas decorations
December 1st?
Up.
I think a lot of people do wait till
like, Friday.
Yeah, like right after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I know November 1st.
November 28th or whatever, you know.
I know November 1st. They're like, Christmas, let's go.
Right after Halloween, I know some people that they're into it, man.
Yeah.
The Santa suits come out. It's a lot of things.
Well, if you're one of those people who has incredible decorations, like we have a family in our neighborhood, they do unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like so cool and like over the top that I'm okay with that. Because like
it's only a limited
out.
Amount of time to show it off.
Yeah, that's fine. But if you're just doing the typical stuff like we do, then yeah, wait. So wait, Porth. But you know what, Porth? Actually, I'm in favor of whatever you're doing if you bring us coffee.
That's right.
Me too.
I'm thumbs up on all that, man.
The plea of Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezvik early on this Wednesday morning. Joe, I found out yesterday people are very interested and passionate about power rankings that you can release on Twitter. I have power rankings with the Tennessee Titans in first place, the Packers in second place. 733 likes, over 42,000 views of these power rankings.
Wow.
People love power
so
rankings.
So it's not like you got a bunch of people complaining. You got a bunch of
I got some. I'm into the weeds on Packers fans and Dallas fans because I've got them too low at two and three.
Okay.
I got Cowboys fans irate with me that I don't have them over the Packers. And I'm like, they're like, the Packers weren't all that impressive on Sunday. I was like, they won by 17 and their defense had a shutout. What are you talking about?
Also, you just got blown out at home by Denver.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I mean, I know you just blew out the Falcons, but it's I feel like power rankings have become more of a talked about thing in the NFL, which is weird, kind of, you know? I mean, it's kind of like, you know how – like the AP rankings in college football used to be so – I mean, that used to, like, determine the national champion for people who are old enough to remember. But, like, they've been totally – you know, I mean, they've been
– they're made obsolete.
But they still – people still go nuts about them, you know? It's interesting. So, but you made at least the Titans fans happy. I mean, someone's going to be mad, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of happy Titans fans, though, in the mentions yesterday. I got called, hey, at least there's one smart media person. And Joe Rexroad, apparently it's me. So what do you think about that?
Hey, I'm for it. That's one more than a lot of people think there are. So we'll take it.
That's right. The Nashville Predators in action last night. They fall 3-0 at the hands of the Toronto Maple Leafs on the road. Auston Matthews with a goal. Mitch Marner seals it with an empty netter last night. And the Maple Leafs get it done 3-0. Toronto playing really well right now at home. Their goaltending with Jack Campbell has been awesome. And they was off to a little bit of a slow start this year. The Leafs now 11-5-1 on the season. The talent that they have is pretty evident when you watch the game. And the Predators just not able to get much going and or finish last night offensively in Toronto. So a tough start to, I guess this is a separate road trip. It kind of feels like the same one. When you go back home for one and then leave right again.
It's also, and then, of course, it's going to be a limited road trip compared to what it was supposed to be because the Ottawa game's not happening.
It's going to be apparently spending a lot of time in Montreal.
Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they're staying. They're going right to Montreal.
They're staying up there. Interesting. Yeah, that was, first of all, UC Saros last night was absolutely freaking amazing.
He was.
He really was. I mean, he's the only reason that game was close. And it was just a disappointing offensive night for the Preds. Early on, Tomasino had two absolute primo opportunities. And, you know, it's one of those things where who knows if the game is different if he catches in on just one of them. He hits a post one time, and then he just sort of loses control of the puck on a breakaway. But, man, there wasn't a whole lot after that.
There was not, and it's, I think, a reminder – that as good as things have gone offensively and as well as, you know, the Matt Duchesnes and the Yossis and the Granlunds are playing, you still look at this roster and wonder moving forward, like, you know, how many goals is this team ultimately going to be able to score? Obviously, when you've got Duchesne and Johansson playing the way they've played so far, that certainly helps. But still, I think this is not going to be a team that just blows people out of the water offensively. There's a certain way they're going to have to play to win.
Yeah,
I think they know that.
They do. And I look – we've talked about Forsberg, not a great start. Now he's hurt, his contract, all that stuff. Bottom line, this team is probably not a playoff team if he's not in the lineup and producing, given the way it's constructed. That's a necessity.
Yep. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, obviously his name was brought up yesterday with John Hines. Forsberg is not on the trip, which is not good and for his imminent return. So the week-to-week status still remains in place for Philip Forsberg. I did get a question yesterday on my mailbag for 102.5 The Game of when he does come back, like, where do you put him? Where do you put Philip Forsberg? Obviously, you know, Cunnin, Granlund, Duchesne been playing pretty well together for the most part. You know, I liked really up until last night a lot of what I've seen from the Jeannot, Johansson, Tomasino line. I didn't think anybody really got much going last night. I said in the mailbag, the line that would intrigue the crap out of me would be Philip Forsberg, Ryan Johansson, Tanner Jeannot. Like, I just think that would be a really fun line.
Mm.
So I'm interested to see what happens when Forsberg eventually comes back. And at this point, who knows when in the world that'll be, where he slots into this lineup. I mean, you're putting him in the top six.
Now basically, I agree. That is an interesting line. And I think Tanner Jeannot is, you know, I mean, Tanner Jeannot is like hot sauce. Like,
yeah.
You put him on whatever, and it's like it makes it more interesting, you know? So
I like that.
Yeah.
We're going to start calling him Hot Sauce. It's not bad.
Hot Sauce Jeannot.
don't know. It's funny to think about talking about him being on the first line, but it doesn't really bother me wherever Tanner Janot is in the lineup if I'm John Hines. He's I think he's shown that he can adapt quite well at this point.
Yeah, and then obviously you get you have Olivier in there. You can have the original construction of that line. That's Trennan was a guy I liked last night. You know, I liked how he played, but just not enough.
Just not enough. We'll see if they can rebound coming up on Saturday against Montreal. An unexpected day off tomorrow for the Predators, as they were originally scheduled to take on the Ottawa Senators. That game not happening, has been postponed due to COVID issues for the Senators. Preds will be back in action coming up this weekend on Saturday against the Montreal Canadiens. And we'll be joined by Predators guest a little bit later in the show. Also, Adam Vingan coming up at 9:30 as well. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our buddy Ron texting in, good morning. I beat Michelle, I beat Joe, and now you're next, Robbie, in fantasy football.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and what team is Ron? Remind me. I've checked out, basically, of the league, but I'm just trying to, like,
well,
do my lineup.
Let's just go ahead and make this clear. The beating Joe portion of that discussion this year is not overly difficult.
No. Who did I beat, by the way? Who has the embarrassment and shame of losing to me, I wonder?
I don't know, but it wasn't Brennan.
God, thank you. Thanks for reminding me. Is Ron LaGote?
No, that's Cody.
Oh,
Ron
is Vrabel's Vrabels?
No, Ron is the gridiron pimps all day.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Yep, he beat me, so thanks, Ron. Why don't you bring us some
thanks,
coffee?
Thanks, Ron. Bring us coffee. Only thing Joe and Michelle care about this morning. Let's just go get some coffee.
Tunnel vision on the coffee.
You're making me feel worse about myself as I see you talk, Michelle, because you are struggling.
Oh, boy, this could be a really interesting show today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We're off and running, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. When we come back, some news yesterday on Bud Dupree, seemingly good news. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Tim on YouTube. Preds needed some coffee last night. They didn't have any room on the ice, and Soros kept us in the game late in the third period. So maybe a coffee shortage for the Predators last night, much like Joe Rexrode and Michelle Knezvik.
I was trying to forget about that. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to have to figure something out here soon. As for the Leafs are an incredible regular season team.
They are.
If they could somehow transfer what they do in the regular season to when it matters, boy, What a joyous time in Toronto and the NHL at large it would be.
I look forward to them being up 3-0 in their first round series this year and winning 2-0 in the third period and then totally collapsing and losing the series. It's gonna be fun.
Maybe they've got goaltending figured out.
I'm sure they do in the regular season. But it's gonna be real fun to watch. Come playoff time.
Pretty much.
Joe, some news yesterday on Bud Dupree, sort of. Jeremy Fowler coming out with this information yesterday from ESPN. Quote, Titans pass rusher Bud Dupree with an abdomen is considered day-to-day, but is still undergoing testing to determine severity. Severity is, if I could read. He can miss he can miss some time, but no hard timetable. This tweet coming from Jeremy Fowler from ESPN. So I guess my first reaction when I read that was, oh, day-to-day. That's probably pretty good. And then I kept reading and, all right, they don't really know how severe it is yet, so
it's still but that's still good news. I mean, for sure, based on just the optics of the injury itself. So I wake up to Jared quote tweeting me, Joe Rexrode had scared everybody he was out, had everybody scared he was out for the year, then did like the facepalm thing. I never said he was out for the year, but I mean, I definitely had that thought.
Yeah,
so. I don't know why me having that thought had everybody scared, but sure. Look, I mean, it's because obviously when you leave – so what happens in games is almost every injury becomes whatever it is, they're questionable, and then about a quarter later you get like they're out.
Yeah.
You know? If someone's on a cart or something, or it's like obviously really severe, sometimes you get the immediate out. This was an immediate out. So this was – I mean, usually – this means a significant injury, and when you think abdomen, to me, abdomen, I think about tearing something, a core muscle injury, which means you're done for the year. So this is good news, and I will not apologize to Jared or anyone else for what I thought.
Yeah, I mean, look.
No one reported that he was out or anything like that. It's just you know, abdomen out right away, it doesn't sound good.
It does not sound good, and – you know, when you read that tweet, hopefully, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's back this week. You know, I would probably at this point be, I guess, a little bit surprised if he's playing coming up on Sunday against the Texans. Quite frankly, you shouldn't need Bud Dupree to play on Sunday against the Texans. I know the Titans are not going to think that way, but
in theory,
you shouldn't really need him on Sunday. I think you should be able to generate some pressure on that offensive line without Bud Dupree, but I did kind of wonder, and it crossed my mind, the sack numbers are not there for Bud Dupree, right? And, you know, obviously he's been battling his way back from an ACL injury. I do think the last few weeks prior to this injury, started to come on a little bit, started to look healthier, was making some big plays in games, even if it didn't necessarily mean a sack that he was getting. And, you know, he's a big part of the front four that's become, you know, one of the most fearsome front fours in all of football right now. So you want to keep building on that and see if that can translate to maybe him getting home a little bit more in the second half of the season. So losing him, I think, is a big deal. If it's short term, which hopefully it is with this news, kind of feels like you dodged a bullet there if you're the Titans.
No, it'd be huge. It'd be huge to lose him. It'd be huge to have him. I mean, he's very important. Yeah, and I mean, in the Kansas City game, to me, that the biggest play was that early strip sack. And it was like, there's Bud Dupree. Really got them rolling. Think about the clinching play in L.A. was him, you know, reading that bootleg and getting in Stafford's face and basically causing incompletion. So, yeah, he's looked better as time has gone on, and I think that a Bud Dupree is an important part. I mean, I think the other three can be very good still. Obviously, he played one snap the other day, was out, and they were great in the first half against the Saints. You know, Autry, Simmons, Landry, but it's really important for this team to have him, especially given, you know, all the other things that are going on. If you can keep that front four, or, you know, obviously it's not technically a front four, it's your pass rush,
yeah.
It's your two down linemen and your two outside linebackers, but if you can keep that four-man rush together, then that's what leads you forward.
Well, it is, and it kind of feels like the Titans are due some good news on the injury front. Like, they've not had much of that this year, and maybe the odds switching around a little bit. Let's have some good news for the Titans on the injury front. That'd be fun.
Yeah. I mean, Christian Fulton back, so maybe it's a trend.
Yeah, maybe so.
While they push toward the NFL record for guys used.
That's right. So hopefully we'll see Bud Dupree back on the field as quickly as possible. And, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, he's your big free agent that you go out and sign, and – no, I think it's certainly fair to say he has not been worth the money thus far because, you know, he's been battling back from injury. The production, for the most part, hasn't really been there. The availability has been hit or miss with Bud Dupree so far. But it is important, I think, to get him back and healthy as possible, not only for this year, but to kind of see what you have moving forward as well, because at some point you're going to have to make a decision on Harold Landry with the way he's playing, and it would be nice if you end up having to part ways with Harold Landry because of the salary cap, to feel pretty good about Bud Dupree at the end of the year as well, because it's taking up a lot of money, that Bud Dupree.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Obviously, you look at this, what they have right now, and you're like, man, you got to keep that together. And, you know, let's not forget, I mean, Landry is the guy right now,
yeah.
10 sacks. I don't know how. You could. I mean, you can keep it together. You are very much sacrificing elsewhere if you do. So, again, like with any of this stuff, when we look at the roster moving forward, this would be a good year to go win one.
It would be.
You know?
If you could hand select a season, probably be this one.
Yeah. Which is possible, I think, if you get Derrick Henry back.
What do you think in the meantime, however long Bud Dupree's out? I mean, look, maybe he's at practice today. Who knows what happens with the Titans and Bud Dupree. But if he's not going to be in there on Sunday, how do you handle this? Obviously, some good news yesterday. Derek Roberson activated by the Titans. So yeah. Good to see him back into the fold. But I would assume that it's going to be Landry and Autry and Simmons and probably a lot of Ola Adeniyi as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. With Roberson now, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be ready to play Sunday, but that's a good sign. Obviously, they had to – yesterday was the deadline, so they had to activate if they were going to do it or he would have been done. So because it was a deadline, I still am hesitant to project that he's going to play Sunday, but at least he's obviously close enough for them to do that, and that would be a nice third – true outside linebacker. Again, Autry does both things, and Autry works there too. So he'd be your fourth guy. And like you said, I mean, Adeniyi has been a big find this year. And you'd be okay. Certainly you should be okay this week. You should be.
Should be.
With Dupree. And then it's sort of like, I mean, I think it's with probably a lot of guys, and this sort of speaks to why Julio Jones is on IR. You know, it's sort of like if you take care of your business this week, you do have a little bit of leeway. You have a little bit of slack, and you have the off week after you go to New England. So that may not be a terrible week to rest anyone who's close. I mean, hey, you'd love to go beat New England. If you do that, boy, are you in great shape. But, like, you could drop that game. Then you have your rest week and then come back and be ready for the run.
Is that what we're calling it now? Rest week?
Well, it's a week of rest.
Oh, it is.
It's a week.
I just wondered if that's what we're going with.
It's a week to be off. It's a week to be idle. It's not a week to.
It's a week to wave bye as you walk out the door.
Bye bye. If you want to call it bye bye week, I guess that's fine. A bye bye week is okay. Waving bye bye. I will accept that.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Have you heard a lot of the? Let's not overlook the Texans so far this week from Titans fans. I've not heard much of that, which is usually the case. Now, again, it's just now Wednesday, so now we're getting closer to the, all right, let's start looking ahead at this upcoming game. As we know, Davis Mills looking ahead at all times at quarterback for the Houston Texans. I've not heard a lot of people freaking out yet about the Texans as of yet. I'm interested to see if that happens throughout the rest of this week, if we have a New York Jets-style freakout session 2.0.
Yeah, I don't know about a freakout, but the Jets have been brought up. So I've got a mailbag, about a nice 2,800-word mailbag with a whole bunch of topics, including someone brought that up, like the Jets thing. And look, I mean, the Jets game should be useful now to Mike Vrabel and the Titans. If they need something like that, they've got something like that. I mean, the Jets are cheeks, okay?
They are. it's been proven since then that they are.
It's been well documented. So, I mean, that's a handy thing to use this week. But I mean, because it's hard to really manufacture concern about what the Texans are as a team. They're well,
cheeks.
Yes.
Are we ever going to come up with anything else?
I don't know. What could be better?
Nothing.
Some, you know, you get a term like that, and you're like, why haven't we been using this, you know, forever and ever?
It should be in our vernacular for all time.
Yeah, so I think it should be a permanent part of it now. So, this is one of those games. Now, look, I will say this. If the Titans win a competitive, pretty close game, I'm not going to be shocked, and I don't think people should be all that disappointed. It's just get the win. But, you know, obviously you lose this game, and a lot of things look different. I'm not sure that I would be willing to entertain like an AFC South race if you lose this game, but you know, that one seed all of a sudden looks like a different kind of deal.
Well, the Titans are 10.5-point favorites in this game on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I guess my question is, like, if Derrick Henry's playing, what's the line on this game? Like, how much is Derrick Henry worth in this game for the Titans against the Texans?
It's like Alabama against Troy kind of line. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's a great question.
It hurts my heart to think about. I mean, we were talking about the MVP race yesterday and how things at this point have kind of broken the way that you really needed them to for Derrick Henry. And obviously, that's not going to happen now. But I also think about this game against the 31st ranked rush defense in the entire National Football League and someone who has just absolutely eaten their lunch the last like three or four times that they've been on the field together.
He loves
just the
them.
Number that could have happened this week for Derrick Henry against this team. It hurts me that he's not going to be a part of it.
No, I mean he loves playing this team. They seem to have just no idea how to tackle him. No, it's a big lost opportunity.
It is. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans and the Texans coming up next, including there are some Titans fans that think that maybe the Titans played down to the competition a little too much. Is that true? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you. Going to be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in about 25, 26 minutes or so. Right now we've got some tickets to give away to see ZZ Top at the Grand Ole Opry coming up on Wednesday, November 24th. Be caller number 3. At 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win 2 tickets to see ZZ Top at the Grand Ole Opry House on Wednesday, November the 24th. So hit up our phone line, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, obviously the Titans taking on a Houston Texans team on Sunday who is 1-8 following their dramatic thrashing of the Jaguars to begin the season. They have lost 8 consecutive games. Have not been all that competitive in many of these games other than really the New England game. That's about it. As you look at their schedule that they've hung around in, there's this idea out there from, I think, some Titans fans and maybe even some Titans media who say, all right, the Titans, they've been really impressive against the Rams and the Chiefs and the Bills and all these different teams, but maybe in the past have played down to their competition a little bit too much. Do you buy into maybe the Titans have been guilty of playing down to their competition? This idea that's thrown out there pretty consistently from Titans fans.
And the Texans should have won that game, by the way, against the Patriots.
Yeah.
So that was a few weeks ago. Patriots have figured some things out. But, yeah, look, first of all, yes. I mean, there's some clear, obvious examples to point to. And I think, to me, it's like we're looking at Vrabel's tenure, right?
Yep.
But I also think people forget that it's still the exception and not the rule. I mean, so in 18, now that was a bad Buffalo team with a rookie who was a bad quarterback and ultimately has grown into a very good team, but that was a bad Buffalo team they lost to. So it was Marcus Mariota to Nick...
Williams.
Nick Williams, yeah. Just catch that pass and you win the game. But he didn't. And that was a bad performance. You know, the next year, I think the two games that would stand out, and I just, by the way, I went through this for this mailbag just yesterday. So Jacksonville, and that was now, of course, that was early in the year. The Titans were not good. I mean, they were bad then. So that's a little different.
Is that the Calais Campbell game?
That's the Calais Campbell game.
Yep.
With Jamil Douglas at right guard. And, I mean, the Titans were bad. I mean, they didn't have Lawan. You know, they started 2-4. So it's a little different. The Carolina team that went 5-11 that year, they went and lost that. That was one of probably the worst performance during the Tannehill takeover. Obviously, last year, the game that is everyone, you know, it's Cincinnati. That was a bad team. Rookie quarterback went out there. Bad pick by Tannehill early. Just could never stop them. I mean, that was like a – that was a, you know, Jonathan Joseph, and it's like, you got to do something different on D. And then, of course, this year, the Jets. So those games stand out, and it's totally fair to look at them and say, geez, what happened? Again, in the context of everything, like you really can most years with most good NFL teams, winning NFL teams, you can find one of those. Most years. Not always. I'm sure there's some teams that are like, nope, they took care of all the bad teams on schedule. But let's go through those teams, other bad teams they played. So 2018. They swept the Jags, who were dog water. They beat the Jets. They beat the Giants. That was, you know, like Derrick Henry was kind of figuring it out. And they beat Washington, which is a bad team. They said Adrian Peterson. I mean, in 2020, it was all kinds of bad teams. That was actually a really soft schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, Browns, Falcons, Chargers, Bucks, Raiders. You end up splitting with the Jags. I mean, those are all games like you're quote-unquote supposed to win, and you did. Last season, you swept the awful Texans. You swept the awful Jags. You beat the Lions, you know, the Broncos, and to a lesser extent, Broncos, Bears, Vikings, not great teams, not good teams, but not terrible teams, but you still, those are games you're like favored to win. You won. So really, it's just like this one game or two games that stand out in a year. And if that's the case this year, well, you got to feel great about their chances because they've already gotten it out of the way.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, to your point, I think there's this idea that it happens more often than it probably does out there in terms of playing down to the competition and losing games. Now, look, I mean, the other part of this is it still is the NFL, and as bad as the Houston Texans are, they've got some guys that – I mean, Brandon Cook's a pretty good player. They can make you pay. So, I mean, you can't just walk in and expect to come out with a win. Now, to Terry's point on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Terry texting in saying, look at the point production of the Texans on the road. They can't score. Titans 24-3, the final. It is interesting. You look at the road games for the Texans. Other than Cleveland, which they put up 21, and Taylor was the quarterback, and that was week two right after they had a big win against Jacksonville to open the season. 40-0 shutout against Buffalo on the road. 31-3 to Indy. 31-5 to Arizona, which is a hilarious score. And last time out on the road, 17-9, a loss to Miami. So you're talking 0, 3, 5, and 9. So I guess you could make the argument they're getting a little bit better on the road at scoring. But have not broken double digits yet on the road since that game in Cleveland in week two.
So by my count, that's 17 points in four road games. That's about 4 point whatever.
Not four, good.
4.3. Yeah. Well, yeah. If I'd say if they can't get to like, you know, 7-10, you should be in pretty good shape.
Now, the one thing you've got to keep in mind with those road games too, Davis Mills was the starting quarterback for all of those. Until the last one out against Miami and Tyrod Taylor was back in there. Look, I don't think anybody's scared to death of Taylor as quarterback. He's a heck of a lot better option than Davis Mills is.
Right. Like, you actually have a chance, if you're them, to move the ball, make some plays, score some points. With him at quarterback, you don't have much of a chance with Davis Mills.
Although he'll see you coming.
I was going to say, I just set you up for a giraffe joke.
Have you ever seen anything like that guy? It's unbelievable. The neck that he brings to the table.
Well, the funny thing is, so I only really know that one picture.
There's more. Just go,
is there like a
go
collage?
Twitter search Davis Mills neck. Which, by the way, you know, Mike Glennon, quarterback, apparently he's got this long neck too. I mean, if you think about it, it's a pretty good weapon to have as a quarterback. He's got some good size to him anyway. Definitely can see over the line of scrimmage. Not bad.
No?
Not a bad thing to have on your side.
Oh, my gosh, you're right.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, good. I mean, you know, I guess it's a good thing to have, right?
I guess so.
Like, if Doug Flutie had that neck, he would have been basically 6'3 in the NFL.
We love Davis Mills here on the show.
Yeah.
No disrespect.
Well, it's funny that he comes up, too, because totally different topic, but on the question of Hendon Hooker in the NFL, I was like, gosh, you know, he could go maybe like – if he's number 8, which is what Mel Kiper has him,
yeah,
like that, I was like, gosh, that could be like, I don't know, even like third round maybe in a bad draft. But, well, the funny thing is last year Davis Mills was number 8, and he did go in the third round.
Yeah.
And I would rather have Hendon Hooker as on my team than Davis Mills. I'm just saying.
Yep, I think I would too. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The Titans on the verge of what I think is a pretty big accomplishment coming up with one more win on the season. We'll get to what that is next and how big of a deal is it to Titans fans. All that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Dierks Bentley at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, February 25th? Well, head on over to YouTube, subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Dierks Bentley live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November 22nd. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Going to be joined by Clark Lee, Vanderbilt football coach, to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that here in about 15 minutes. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. JC in Goodlettsville texting in. Does Davis Mills wear giraffe necks since turtlenecks are too small? It's a tough one.
It reminds me of, like, what's gosh darn it. I had a really good – see, this is the coffee right now. The total malfunction. Reminds me of – is it a knock-knock joke? No, it's not a knock-knock joke. It's just, what do you get when you cross an elephant and a rhino?
I don't know.
What do you get? Elephino.
That was so bad.
All righty.
Hey, really? I mean, if someone's going to make a giraffe neck joke, then I can bust out a dad joke.
That's true. You can. We're all about dad jokes here on the program. Joe Rexroad, the Titans are on the verge with one more win of doing something that is pretty remarkable given where this franchise was 5-6 years ago, and that would be a sixth consecutive winning season if they're able to win one more game. One more win, and you're guaranteed to at least go 9-8 in this season. They've been 9-7, 9-7. 9-7, 9-7 again, and last year we're 11-5. Obviously, the bottom line looks like it's going to be a lot better than just a winning season this year, but I ask you, how big of a deal is six consecutive winning seasons in a row for this franchise after where they were when John Robinson took over?
Yeah, I think it's pretty notable because, I mean, there's something to be said for consistency. It's very hard to get it. And obviously within that stretch you've had, you know, you've had losses to the Jets and the Bengals and whatever. I mean, there's a larger consistency there that I think is really impressive. And I mean, look at the history of this franchise. You know, some franchises this is routine, but this franchise had 87-93 as the bet when they were the Oilers. And that was Warren Moon, that was from the transfer from Glanville to Jack Pardee. It culminated in a 12-14 in 93 that, by the way, my gosh, that 35-3 lead over the Bills. And then, I mean, that's the crazy thing is, like, that team goes 12-4, should have won that game. Might have been a Super Bowl team. And the next year, it's like, and, you know, Bud Adams blows it up and they go 2-14 the very next year, you know. Warren Moon somewhere else. I mean, like, but it's, you look at even the great teams of the Titans, you had that one random 7-9 year in 01.
Yep.
With a lot of stuff that went wrong. I mean that was a heck of an era from 99 to 03 as Floyd Reese kept it together, built something great, kept it together. You're talking 13-3. You had 11-5, you had a 12-4. That's a great era. But even with those great teams, with McNair, with Eddie George, and you know, Javon Kirsten, all these great, Derek Mason, all these great players, you still had the random season in there where things went wrong. That's where I think it's impressive, where this is impressive, where you can at least be at a certain level for this many years in a row. I mean, how many guys were part of the first year of that who are still part of it now? Kevin Byard was a rookie.
Lawan.
Derrick Henry was a rookie. Taylor Lewan was young. A veteran coming back. Brett Kern.
Yeah, buddy.
Is that it?
That may be it.
I think that might be it, right?
Yep. I mean, does Avery Williamson count since he was on the team this year?
That's just show you. So that's obviously, that's the NFL. I mean, that's a ton of churn. And it's not even like usually in an era like something like this, like for example, the last great era, because they've had some other like good stretches. Obviously, they go 10-6 and 13-3-0, 7-0-8, and they had some good teams and stretches, but usually there's a quarterback that's a quarterback era, right?
Yep.
Like the Patriots, I mean, even the Steelers' most recent era, this is a Roethlisberger era, and the Patriots with Brady. Usually that's the case, Rodgers and Favre. I mean, that's those are the common threads. As long as you have those two guys, Favre to Rodgers, then you're going to win more than you lose. But that's not the case with this stretch. I mean, it's Mariota to Tannehill. And by the way, now you go to a higher level of winning since then. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's it reflects well, certainly on John Robinson overall and the job he's done. And I think Amy Adams Strunk too. Now, Vrabel since – you know, this is his fourth year, so he's been part of more of it than not.
Yep.
But I think you start with Robinson and Strunk and what they did when they kind of took over in 2016.
Yeah, I think so too. And look, you know, the 9-7, we knew this, and this was the conversation last year. After a certain amount of time at 9-7, you're like, all right, let's get through 9-7. The Titans were able to do that last year, 11-5, and, you know, we'll see how the rest of this season goes. But it looks like they're on pace to at least match that win total from last year, if not surpass it at this point, being at 8-2 with 7 games remaining on the schedule. So not only consistency, but getting it to a certain point and then being able to expand upon that is what Vrabel and this team have been able to accomplish the last couple of years, not to mention, of course, you know, the playoff run going to the AFC title game a couple of years ago as well. So you're hoping for maybe a repeat performance of that to get to the title game, hopefully punch your ticket to the Super Bowl. But regular season-wise, the last couple of years, they've been able to build on that success that they've sustained over the last 6 years, which that's the encouraging part. Because I do think, like, at some point, and I think we reached this point with the Titans, like, after the fourth consecutive year of 9-7, fans are like, all right, 9-7, that's no longer good enough. Let's break down that door. And to their credit, they've been able to do that the last couple of years.
Well, and here's another thing. You know, if they win the AFC South, and I understand, you know, two of the four teams in the AFC South are
cheeks.
Yeah. And the other one has had, you know, what we heard in the discussion the other day about the Titans and what they've gone through. Colts should at least get a mention in there, right, with their stuff this year. So, but the Titans are about to win the division for the second year in a row. There's something that those great teams of McNair did not do. They did not do that because they had, you know, they won it in 2000.
Yep.
They won it in 02. Obviously, the 01, you know, kind of lost season in there. I mean,
it is amazing that in 99, you go 13-3 and you don't win the division.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
And you dominate the team that went 14-2 and beat them again in the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah. But go through the entire history of the franchise. I mean, the only time that you won the division more than, like, had, like, multiple years in a row of winning the division was your first 3 years of existence in the AFL, 1960, 61, and 62. You know, I mean, you won the championship of the AFL the first 2 years with George Blanda. But, I mean, beyond that, never has this franchise won its division 2 years in a row. So it's another thing to, you know, to throw on there. I mean, it was a big deal last year. First time they won the division since 08. And they might wrap it up, like, you know, early in December.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly on the table. Got a texter that asked if Ben Jones has been a part of the whole thing as
Boom.
Well.
Boom, very good. Yes, good call, Ben Jones. So Ben Jones, Lawan.
Yeah, Ben Jones' Henry, first year was 16.
Yep, that's a great call. Ben Jones, Lawan, Henry Byard, and Kern. I think that's it. Is that it?
I think so. Yeah.
Because, like, Daquan Jones would have been, you know, but he's gone. So, yeah. I mean, that just shows you. You know, I mean, this league, it's you can talk about building culture, and that's very important, and that starts at the top. But it's a lot of different players along the way in a short period of time.
Right. And obviously the goal now for the Titans has moved beyond winning season, and that's – I think, again, a testament to what they've been able to build so far. But to your point, there is something to be said about the consistency that this franchise has discovered over the course of the last 6 seasons. Josh on the text line, where does Joe keep all his dad jokes in his database? This coming from Josh in Clarksville.
Did he just write dad a bass?
Yeah, he did.
Oh, nice.
That was a good one.
Yes, he did.
You know, a good follow on Twitter is Ryan McGee, friend of the show, who every day he shares like his little lunchbox jokes for one of his kids.
Yep.
There's some juicy dad jokes in there.
Got a texture that says Deion Brown has been a part of it, too. He is just off. He was in 17.
Nope. Yeah.
So was not here for 16.
I don't even think he was 17, was he?
He was 17.
He was 17 draft?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, so Deion Brown, almost part of all of it. You know, Corey Davis, if he was here, he would have almost been part. But, yeah, it's
a limited list.
It is.
Brett Kern keeps on kicking, man. Love that guy.
Didn't have a great game last week.
Sorry, he'd be fine.
For the record.
He'd be fine.
I'm just saying, like, punting becomes very important now. He's got to step it up.
Hopefully not on Sunday. Hopefully it's not that important.
Well, I guess that's true. I guess this would be a game where you would hope you wouldn't have to
take a week off.
Use him a ton.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.